the Burt Reed Place. This location is near where Burt Reed homesteaded and established his orchard. The actual area of the orchard is now flooded by Lake Roosevelt. Burt sold his place to Sophia and Victor Kahlstrom in 1911. They would have been Grandma and Grandpa Reed's neighbors. Victor Kahlstrom wrote of his experience here during a summer storm. I had 6 acres of newly cleared ground planted to corn up on the hill north of us, and I was on the way there with Monty, my horse, and a cultivator to harrow the corn patch when I drove through the orchard. I noticed the apple trees were full of apples ready to be thinned, and it looked like a good crop. Even the cherries were beginning to get the dark red color that showed they would be ready for picking in a few days. It was with a feeling of well-being that I saw how the trees bent over with cherries. The income would be good. It was lovely to be a farmer and an orchardist. I was my own boss and didn't need to take orders from anyone. As soon as I came to the cornfield, I began harrowing between the rows. A wonderful smell came from the cultivated soil and the crops growing upon it, which took hold of me and increased my love for the earth. A black cloud was hastily spreading itself over the sky from the southwest. It was copper-colored on the edges and looked ominous. Then it became completely still, not even a bird twittering, and all of nature seemed to be waiting for something to happen. Some large raindrops fell. No, there isn't any hurry, I thought, and continued to harrow. But then some hail came, and the most terrible peal of thunder followed the lightning that streaked across the sky. I unhitched the horse and drove down the hill, but it was too late. It was as if all the windows in heaven had opened and a huge sea of rain and hail came down. The road led down through a small canyon, which earlier in the day had been completely dry. When I came there, I was met by a surge of rushing, muddy water. I saw that I couldn't get across, so I swung to the left and stood with my back against a large fir tree. I put the horse's head tight against me, and the fir tree shielded us from the hail. That is the worst weather I had ever seen. It seemed as if everything evil had been turned loose. The wind howled and shrieked, and lightning followed lightning, so it sounded as if the thunder was roaring all around me while masses of water and hail hurled down. Stones and bushes were wrenched loose by the flood of water, and the bushes floated around me. It is during times like this that we realize God's might and how almighty He is, and I realized my own weakness and smallness. The terrible weather stopped as quickly as it had begun. After most of the water ran off, Monty and I began traveling again, homewards, along the muddy and badly washed road. Near the upper part of the orchard, I met my wife. She came crying with a rake in her hand to dig me out of the mud. In the orchard, the destruction was terrible. The cherry trees, which had been so bent down with fruit, were now completely bare. Even the leaves had been knocked off. The irrigation ditches were full of cherries, and at the back of the house was a large drift of hail and cherries. The apple trees were just as bad off. The apples that were left on the trees were full of hail marks, so they were useless. The peaches were also destroyed. The destruction was complete. I had figured the cherry harvest to be about 9,000 pounds, and they were as good as sold at 9 cents a pound. The apple crop should have been 5,000 boxes, peaches 400 boxes, and the apricots and pears besides. Luckily, we already had the first crop of alfalfa in, and because of the heavy rainfall, the second crop was good too. Thanks to having the cows and the sale of timber, we didn't have to be needy. We stood in front of the house and viewed the destruction. The porch roof was completely torn apart, but the veranda and the apple tree had shielded the windows. The children came outside, quiet and sad. Suddenly the sun streamed again from a cloud-free sky, and the birds came out and sang as if nothing had happened. The broad and swift Columbia River just below me sang its monotonous flowing song and reminded me of the stream song in Nakarlaby, and immediately my thought flew back to my hometown in Finland. I could smell the scent of the lilacs, and I could see the mountain ash and aspen dressed in their white summer clothing. In the morning, there would be people dressed in their very best, hurrying to the ancient church to see the school children coming for their first communion. It was midsummer evening. Pause the audio recording here and make your way to the next location, the Wheeler Place.